I'm Lizanne Flynn, a master healer who works with animals and humans in reuniting within themselves and with each other. I'm an animal communicator, medium, and medical intuitive, and I use the tools of shamanic journeying and soul retrieval to help all earthlings recover from past trauma. I'm certified as a Reiki master teacher and as a canine massage therapist. This is the Animal's Eye View podcast. I'm going to be referencing Plutchik's Wheel of Emotions in today's podcast. And recently, a participant in my online academy told me that she printed out the color copy of said Wheel of Emotions to, I think she said, place on her laptop, which I thought was brilliant, of course, because it's just so helpful when an emotion or a feeling occurs. Yes, they're different, and that's where we humans get into difficulty. It's so helpful to have a visual reference tool so that you can look for the resonance of the spelling of the word you're seeking in order to describe the emotion or the feeling that your body is giving to you. And maybe it's helpful to think about this whole feeling emotional thingy, like the infinity symbol, so that you might be able to better extricate, yes, that's the right word, to literally dig your way out of the physical flood of hormones, perhaps memories, as well as trauma that's coming at you via your nervous and other systems in the body. Using this also as a tool, an external tool, like a pendulum, you can better observe where you are on the infinity symbol so that the human experience, you, doesn't get stuck in the air quotes, I'm feeling. Because it's more accurate to say, my body is feeling, as it is the anchor for galactic you, light being you, soul you in this lifetime. The body remains the best possible vehicle for you to experience and experiment with what it's like to be gravity bound on a planet of fixed design of duality, wherein unity is found by balance and partnership within that duality. Nowhere else will you get as clear and precise an indicator of what you're feeling than with the body. And naturally, it's up to you to figure out why. And why would you want to do that, you may be asking? Look no further than the body itself, especially where emotions and feelings of contrast, the partner to light, are embedded. Chances are good that the majority of time it's what I call a hot stove moment, where the body senses, for instance, the rise in temperature as your hand reaches for the hot stove, i.e. the emotion, usually a reactive emotion, and starts yelling, sometimes loudly, "Hey, you, move away from the hot stove." That's not going to feel good, and we, the queens we of the body, won't like that at all, and neither will you. So, this week, I encourage you to start practicing saying, my body is hungry, my body is sleepy, my body is feeling good, instead of the human-centric, all-important capital I. Oh, and when you look at the Wheel of Emotions, pay special attention to how the opposites of emotions come together to create a state of feeling. Like terror and amazement creating the feeling of awe when looking at animals in the wild, and how love is a feeling built on equal parts of joy and trust. It's not exactly an immediate potion, if you will, of love that humans like to think. And so the animals are saying right now, quote, would you buy a car without knowing how it runs or what kind of engine it has or how many cylinders or? No, they say, you would not. You would get in the driver's seat. You would adjust the seat. You would see how much headroom you had. You'd fiddle with the mirrors and look out the rear view one to see how that looked and felt to you. And you do the same with the side view mirrors. You turn all the switches on and you turn the volume up. And depending upon the year of the car, you'd see whether it was Bluetooth compatible, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In other words, you'd read the gosh darn owner's manual. And if something stopped working or you weren't sure about something, you'd refer back to that owner's manual and maybe even call the manufacturer of the car or check out online who else was not sure or having issues with a particular feature or function of the car. At this point, I would interject and say that it's not a coincidence that animals are referring to a car as a metaphor for the body, because after all, it fits perfectly with what they perceive as life on Earth. You have a car and you drive it. You can enter and exit the car. That's for another podcast, a deeper dive into journeying and astral travel, perhaps. And it's something, this car, this body, that really depreciates, as in wears down on Earth. There's a year in which each car is born or made with brand new shiny parts that work really well when they're new. And over time, parts may need to be replaced, like tires or brakes or sometimes even differentials or carburetors. I would add perhaps knees as well as hips into this as well. And it's not a coincidence that in dream world metaphors, a car is usually taken to represent the body into which is placed a soul, aka you, in the driver's seat. Animals would continue, quote, "You're responsible for so much more than you can imagine for the health and well-being of your body. And yet this murky underworld of emotions and feelings, which plays a huge part in determining how you live your life path, is something into which few of you will dip a toe. Because you think only of the contrast part of feeling emotional, which you don't like, and, as if on cue and in a chorus, I'm hearing, and will do anything to ignore." Well, the animals seem to be on a roll today, and that's fine. We'll just roll with them. I think as beings in human experience, we do tend to accept the caveat of, again, a somewhat murky descriptor of stress, a catch-all, perhaps, of what our body tells us is going on in our car's environment and to which the car may be reacting. And we put this down to, well, yep, that's just life, I guess, to which the animals want to interject again with a rolling eye emoji and throw their paws, wings, and fins up into the air and say, quote, "And how you respond to it in an active way is everything." And with that, I heartily agree. So that means we need to gain a better understanding of how our own feelings and emotions work, how they're connected, and what we can do to respond to them rather than just react. Because when we react, we lean into and begin interacting with the stress versus observing it for a moment or three and deciding what choices we might have about how we can interact with the energy by responding to it first, after perhaps a bit of a reaction that we might be able to set off to the side. And that's where our friend emotion comes in and their distant cousin feeling. To be clear, I'm using feeling as a noun as opposed to an adjective. And here's the full definition of feeling, which, to be fair, animals say, is perhaps where a small part of the murkiness comes in. Remember, with animals, yes, they understand emotions. Yes, they understand feelings. To them, though, it is data. It is information from the body that has a particular vibration and frequency. They understand the role that it plays. They are fully sentient, and I dare say more sentient than the majority of us. And yet they understand that they are still responsible for making these decisions of how to respond in their life experience here on planet Earth. So that's an aside. Let's get back to feeling. From the dictionary, and all of these links, of course, will be in the podcast notes, and I'll number them off for you. Number one, by definition, feeling is the one of the basic physical senses of which the skin contains the chief end organs and of which the sensations of both touch and temperature are characteristic. Number two, a sensation experienced through this sense. Number three, an emotional state or reaction. Number four, feelings, plural, susceptibility to impression, i.e. sensitivity. Number five, the undifferentiated background of one's awareness considered apart from any identifiable sensation, perception, or thought. The overall quality of one's awareness. Number six, conscious recognition. Number seven, often unreasoned opinion or belief. Number eight, presentiment. Number nine, capacity to respond emotionally, especially with the higher emotions. Number 10, the character ascribed to something. Number 11, the quality of a work of art that conveys the emotion of the artist. Number 12, sympathetic aesthetic response. And we'll end with number 12 because, as I said, we're going to stick with nouns and not adjectives. And so I think it's fair to say, whoa, that's a whole lot of feeling going on, a la Jerry Lee Lewis, who recently transitioned. And actually, the original lyric of is a whole lot of shaking going on. I think it's rather apt if we just replace the one word, because that's the double-edged sword of our nervous system. It gives us all we need and then some, so that we can use all of that information to make choices on its behalf, to hide if we need to from a perceived threat of any size or shape, and including emotion, the definition of which is noticeably shorter than feeling. Emotion as a noun is a strong feeling such as love or anger or strong feelings in general. Literally, that's the definition of emotion. So you can see where we might be more than a little confused in this human experience structure. And there's a fair amount of difference between how humans perceive emotions and feelings and how animals, as I said, interact with the energy of them. Note the difference. To clog up the works even more, here's more information, because y'all know I'm all about the researching of what I present to you so that you can choose for yourself what resonates. That, above all else, is what matters. It's not your brain alone that decides this, it's your whole body. Quoting from the University of West Alabama on defining emotions, quote, "Emotions are often confused with feelings and moods, but the three terms are not interchangeable. According to the American Psychological Association, emotion is defined as a complex reaction pattern involving experiential, behavioral, and psychological elements. Emotions are how individuals deal with matters or situations they find personally significant. Emotional experiences have three components: a subjective experience, a physiological response, and a behavioral or expressive response. Feelings, then, arise from an emotional experience." And I promise you, I will deconstruct all of this for you. Because a person is conscious of the experience, this is classified in the same category as hunger or pain. A feeling is the result of an emotion and may be influenced by memories, beliefs, and other factors. A mood is described by the American Psychological Association as any short-lived emotional state, usually of low intensity. Moods differ from emotions because they lack stimuli and have no clear starting point. For example, insults can trigger the emotion of anger, while an angry mood may arise without apparent cause. And so here's how I would sum it up. And in full transparency, this is not my definition. It's how I heard it explained by a therapist much earlier in my career, and which resonates with me and the animals. Emotions are short, intense reactions from your body's nervous system designed to alert you to information that is deemed by the body to be reflective of what needs to be addressed in the moment. This last one, in the moment, being key. Feelings, on the other hand, can be looked at as a factory. A feeling factory that may combine past memories of emotional reactions to previous situations on the planet, and, I would humbly add in, off the planet as well, or in another lifetime, which I know may be adding to the murkiness and or purple head exploding emoji, yet it's valid to consider in my experience because of how the body reacts to energy which may or may not be coming in from the present moment, which is where the whole broken clock analogy comes in, which says even a broken clock is right twice a day. If the emotion switch, if you will, gets stuck in the on position, instead of getting reset as it's designed to do to the short, intense emotions on, off, that can result in what we have defined as humans as post-traumatic stress. I'm leaving off the disorder part because I perceive that's a judgment that doesn't do anyone any favors. It's happening because the body is still sending a message of something that is not right, and the body says, I need to tell you about it. Meaning, the broken clock is still right, and animals would add, quote, "Nothing is ever broken. It is merely out of alignment with who you truly are." And where emotions start to overwhelm the inventory, say, in the feeling factory, is when the stuck in the on position emotion becomes a feeling itself, regardless of the input from the body's own reaction to the situation in the moment, and likely because of the body's previous cellular memory. Like we said at the outset, a bit murky, I would tell you to head back into the owner's manual of the body itself and understand how it and you work together. And again, here's the thing to know, though. There are several different options to redirect even that stuck-in-the-on position emotion switch energy and to keep the inventory moving in the feeling factory so that the body, and ergo you, don't feel like, pun intended, that you're overwhelmed by how you feel. The first thing to do is breathe. The body operates so much better when the breath is flowing easily and deeply, and it has the ability then to connect with the heart that's beating too quickly, perhaps in the moment, because of the emotion as well as the brain, which kicks itself then into high gear looking for an escape route to this emotion, regardless of whether it's in the moment or because of the past broken clock analogy. Because past, present, and future exist for your body all at once. As attributed to Einstein, quote, time is an illusion, the full quote being, people like us who believe in physics know that the distinction between past, present, and future is only a stubbornly persistent illusion. And this is where ongoing conversation with the body is key, and reading the owner's manual. Utilizing the breath, it's important to ask these questions, and I highly recommend starting to use a pendulum for these questions, which, of course, is the universe's hint for my next human podcast, Use of a Pendulum. Because while your brain is in reactive mode, the pendulum literally puts the decision-making in your whole body and away from the brain. It's really brilliant that way. And it connects you then with universal guidance automatically. So the starting question is this mine? Meaning, does this emotion and or feeling belong to me? If your body is of the highly sensitive nature, it may be that someone else in your environment, physical or emotional, is having a reaction themselves. It becomes a flowchart at this point, right? So if the answer is yes, you can move to, is this reaction based on a memory or is it immediately present? This could be another broken clock in that a memory has triggered a reaction to something exactly like or similar to your immediate present. That could be something as benign as a hug from a warm-hearted stranger when your triggered memory is from when you were grabbed suddenly right before a violent assault. The flowchart can continue in the opposite direction. This isn't mine. So I can let that information be registered by my body and let that sit for a moment. Remember the previous podcast on the freeze, faint, fight, or flight? You can choose to just sit. I'll add another one, sit, before you move forward. As it isn't yours, and as much as you might care about the person or animal to whom it does belong, do you have control over their emotions or feelings? Nope, not at all. You can extend compassion to them and continue to reinforce the thought of not mine to your body so that it continues to move away from the hot stove moment of stress. At the end, you see that by thinking about your emotions and or feelings in a separate but equal way, you can become more adept at gaining mastery of them in the moment before the runaway train of recycled emotions and feelings overwhelms the entirety of your body. It may seem counterintuitive this way, thinking about what you're feeling, and yet, as the animals say, use everything at your disposal so that you continue to keep your physical vehicle in top operating condition. It truly will tell you everything you need to know about life on Earth should you choose to listen carefully. And at least, that's how the animals see it. Thanks for listening today. Leave a review if you're so inspired, and be sure to subscribe to this podcast. I offer all new clients a free 15-minute consultation. Reach out if you think I can be of service and to schedule online via www.lizanneflynn.com. Come and find me on social media, Facebook, Twitterverse, Instagram, and LinkedIn. I encourage you to sign up for my quarterly newsletter on my website, where I also post notices for upcoming events, the starting date of courses in the Animal's Eye View Academy, and online psychic fairs. On Wednesday, March the 8th at 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, there will be a free Zoom in which you can learn all about the Master Language Immersion course that's set to start in June of this year. The link will be in my podcast footer, and I'll be sending out a reminder newsletter in February. One of the requirements is attunement to Reiki Level 1, which will be discussed during the Zoom meeting. And send me an email, please, if you want to chat privately about the course, which I will be happy to do. Tune in 2 weeks' time, where the next message from one of our animal ambassadors, Cheetah, awaits. This has been the Animal's Eye View podcast. I'll see you next time. Thank you.